Good looking crew in here today. Look at you. All these smiling faces. Isn't it wonderful to be saved?
Yes.
That was a little weak. I'm talking about you missed hell. Huh? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It is a real privilege and blessing to be with you today. Like Brother Mark said, we go way back, decades, and I was just thinking about, you guys, what, 43 years
yes,
as
sir.
A church now in the Bay Area? That doesn't happen by accident. How many prayers have been answered in 43 years? And how many things did you make it through, economic ups and downs and political ups and downs, COVID. I mean, the list goes on and here you are.
Yeah.
Glory to God, here we are. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I know I was... last Sunday, from on the platform before I took our podium, I was looking around and I saw person after person diagnosed with cancer 15 years ago, said they wouldn't live 6 months. They're still there.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Person after person, this problem, that problem, the other. God is a good God and He is a gracious, faithful God. And the one who has got us this far, He will get us the rest of the way. Somebody say it. Say it, my good God, who got me this far, He will get me the rest of the way.
I will run my entire race.
I will finish my complete course. With joy.
With joy.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
With joy. That means with joy, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So that means you finish strong. We're not going to finish with a whimper. We're going to go out with a shout. What do you think? You can go out strong. You don't have to fizzle out. You can go out with a shout that you have completed what you were supposed to do, finished what you were supposed to do, and God is able to sustain us for that to happen. Father, all of us give you the glory and we give you the praise. Oh, how many things you have done for us to sustain us and get us to this point. And our eyes are on you. And we thank you in advance for hearing our prayers and giving us a word in season, exactly what you'd say to us right now and for what's happening next. Give everyone ears to hear and hearts that can discern and show us how to put it into practice. And we thank you that as surely as we act on it, you will watch over it. Your word and perform it in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You can be seated. Thank you, Lord. We've got a lot to be thankful for, a lot to be happy about. Huh?
Yes.
So look at your neighbor, see if you can detect any joy about them. Huh? If not, you're in a good place to get some, right? We'll have enough that it'll run over and splash on you. The joy of the Lord your strength. Being a depressed Christian is a contradiction of terminology, because Christian is a Christian. And that's an anointed one. And the anointing doesn't make you depressed.
Amen.
The anointing removes burdens, destroys yokes. And so you do not have to live down. If you live oppressed and depressed and you know, discouraged and disappointed, you're not looking at the right things. You're not listening to the right things. You're not saying the right things. And it's not all up to God. You have to get a hold of your mouth. Huh? And we can start right now. Set out, you know, the Bible said in James that the tongue is like a rudder on a ship that steers the ship. It's like the bridle on the horse that steers the horse. You could say it's the steering wheel of your life. Well, a big ship in the ocean, especially with winds and currents, if you put an adjustment, a correction into that rudder, the boat doesn't just flip around. Right? It starts churning by degrees. And depending on how big the ship is and how rough the conditions are, it can take a while for that thing to completely be going the opposite direction, 180 degrees. But the moment you give it that input, things are changing. The view might look the same, but it's starting. And that's how faith-filled words work in your life. If you want to go a different direction, you got to stop saying what you've been saying, because that's like holding the steering wheel in the fixed position and saying, I don't want to go this way. I don't want to go this way. You say, well, turn the wheel. I don't believe in turning the wheel, but I don't want to go. You got to turn the wheel. Right? And where's the wheel? It's right under your nose. It's right here. It's right here. So somebody said out loud, things are changing,
in my life
for the better.
Things are working together
for my good
and God's glory.
You know, our dear brother Jerry Savelle, who's in heaven now, personal friend of mine as well. He, if you know anything about his ministry, he taught and ministered a lot on favor. Favor. And I've been around him times where you could see the favor of God working in his life. It matters what you talk about and what you believe in. You know, if you say, well, nothing good ever happens for me. Well, if you say so. I'm telling you. It is just that serious. But something he used to say of his own volition, he would say that he said this every day almost. He would say, the blessing of the Lord is on me. And the favor of the Lord surrounds me. And something good is going to happen for me today. And it did, and it did, and it did, and it did in his life. So I want to hear you say that real strong. The blessing of the Lord is on me. And the favor of the Lord surrounds me. And something good
is happening for me
today. Believe it. Expect it. Say it again tomorrow. Say it again the next day. Jesus is called the apostle and high priest of our confession. He works with what we say. So give him something to work with. Right? And if there's a problem area, you don't want to just talk about how bound you are in that area. You want to confess freedom. I know years ago, I had a young man come up after I was ministering in a place, and I had talked about the power of your words and about being free. And he said, Brother Keith, I've been smoking in almost all my life. And he said, since I was a kid almost, he said, and I've tried everything in the world and I can't quit. He said, I'm addicted to nicotine. I can't quit. I've been prayed for. I've had hands laid on me. I've done everything I know to do and I can't quit. I can't quit. I'm addicted. Well, so to somebody that watches words, every time he said that, I'm like, eh. Now you're laughing, but see, people don't even notice what they're saying. I'm addicted. I'm addicted to nicotine. I can't shake it. I can't. I said, well, will you do what I tell you to do? He said, well, Brother Keith, now I tell you, I've been prayed for. And he said, I have thrown cigarettes away and just have to go buy more. And I've thrown them away and thrown them away. I said, no, I'm going to ask you to do that. Will you do what I ask, tell you to do? He said, well, I don't know if I can. I said, you can do it. You can do it. He said, what? I said, never again say you're addicted. Treat those words like cuss words. Never again say I can't quit. Never again say I'm addicted to this and I can't quit. He said, but Brother Keith, I am. I said, you said you would say what I tell. I said, you can say it. You can open up your mouth. You can say it. Something different. And then I said, this is what you say. You say, I am free from cigarettes. I am free from smoking. The Bible said, Colossians 1:13 talks about that God has delivered us from the power of darkness. Any work of darkness, Jesus already has done the work. And I said, you say I'm delivered. He said, yeah, but you know, what about the smoking? I said, you're already smoking. I said, when you buy cigarettes on the way out of the store, you say, thank you, Lord, for delivering me from smoking. I said, when you open up a pack and you light one up, you say, thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Huh? I am free from smoking. He said, but I'll be smoking. I said, you're already smoking. And so are we still talking about the same thing? If something's going the wrong direction, you want it to go a different direction. Where's the steering wheel? It's your mind. You got to start saying something different from what you've been saying and put some faith with it. And the Lord has something to work with to help you. I said, when you lay down at night and you take that pack of cigarettes out of your pocket and you lay it on the nightstand, whatever you do, I said, you say, thank you, Lord. Anything that reminds you of smoking, you say, thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Yes. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Amen. See, Romans 4 talks about calling those things that be not as though they were. We walk in by faith, not by what we see, not by what we feel. And so he said, well, but I feel like a hypocrite. I said, no, this is how spiritual things work. This is the words of your mouth matter. Just do it. Will you do what I say? He said, okay. Well, I saw him a few weeks later. And when he came through the door, I didn't even have to ask. His face was beaming like this. I knew before I even talked to him. And so I preached and I finished up and he's coming up to the front. I said, tell me about it. Tell me about it. He said, Brother Keith, he said, when you said that, I thought, he's crazy. I'm smoking and I know I'm bound and I know this. And then he said, but I had told him, I said, hey, you've tried everything else. Do this. And so he said, I did it. He said, I felt dumb. He said, I'd look around, make sure nobody was where they could hear me. And I would say, thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I'm free from smoking. I'm free. He said, I said it so many times that after a while, I stopped noticing that I was saying it, it was just like a natural thing. And I forget, it was a few weeks or whatever. He said, I was on the sidewalk and I started to reach to get a cigarette. And he said, thank you, Lord, for saying it. He said, something went through me. And he said, I just looked at it and I thought, I don't need this. I don't want this. And he said, I hadn't smoked since. He said, I don't even want them anymore. And I just got a testimony a few months ago by a man who heard that testimony, and he had been bound by drugs, meth. Meth had destroyed his life, and he did the same thing that guy did with smoking and got totally free. I had another testimony that came in, heroin. Heroin. The guy was addicted to heroin, and he heard that testimony, and he started doing the same thing. He's off. He's clean. Can God do it? So whether it's lying or overspending or overeating or whatever the case may be, any kind of addiction, this is an answer today. If you will do it, never again say, I'm bound, I'm addicted, I can't. Don't say it again. Not one more time, but confess the scripture. He has delivered me from all the power of darkness. He has. And whom the Son has set free, he is free indeed. Somebody said out loud, I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm free from it. In Jesus' name. Now, you don't say anything else except that. No matter what you're feeling, what you're experiencing, keep your words there and watch what the Lord will do for you. Watch and see. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go to Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. Now, that none of that was in my message here, so you're not going to dock me on my time from Ecclesiastes, actually the third chapter is where I'd like for you to go. Ecclesiastes 3. So I'm going to minister something a bit different than what I've ministered before, I think, today. So just like we prayed a few moments ago, are you believing with me?
Yes.
Because, you know, these kind of things, a man or woman cannot generate and produce this. We could only be a vessel for the Lord to minister through. But he knows what's going on, and he knows what's coming up in the days to come. And in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, a passage that even a lot of people that are not church-going people, they've heard some of this. You know, there's so many phrases that are in, I don't know, the lexicon, the vernacular, that actually come from scriptures. And people didn't know that they came from there. But Ecclesiastes 3 and 1. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. Well, that's where we are right now, is under the heaven, on the earth. And this statement says to how many things?
Everything.
Everything. There is a season and a time. So he uses more than one word to describe time. And if you look up these words, you'll find they are actually different words in the Hebrew and the Greek, describing season or time. He said, a time to be born, time to die, time to plant, time to pluck up. And this word time has to do with that same idea of season. Now, when it talks about time to die, you'll hear people that have wrong ideas about it. And you'll hear people say, well, you know, when your time comes, You going? And their idea is maybe it's a 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Thursday. And when the clock hits 3, you're out of here. Your time came. This is not correct. That is not what the Bible teaches. Job 5, I believe it is. You don't have to turn there, but you can mark it down as a reference. Job 5:26 is what it is. He said, "You'll come to your grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn comes in his season." Everybody say season.
Season.
And people will misquote from the New Testament, was it Hebrews, about and say, well, it's appointed unto man a time to die. That verse did not say that. It did not say it's appointed unto man a time to die. It said it's appointed unto man once. Once to die. And if you read the book of Proverbs, you'll find that it says if you'll walk in a godly way and in wisdom, it'll add years to your life. And the psalmist said that bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. So there are ways you can live that will add years to your life. There are wrong ways you live that can cut your life in half. So this thing about a set time to die, 3 in the afternoon on a Thursday, that's not true. That's not accurate. So when he says a time to be born, a time to die, he's actually talking about this word we call season. There's a season where it's the right time for that, but the season could encompass days, weeks, months, years, depending on what you're talking about. And so he says here, you'll come to your grave in a full age like a shock of corn comes in his season. Well, there's a season where the, now when he says corn, we think of corn, you know, like yellow corn, white corn, but it's actually usually talking about wheat. On these things, but the principle is the same. There's a season where the plant, the corn, the wheat, is just springing up. It's young. It hasn't developed. That's not the right season for reaping. Right? And then there's a season where the stalk is fully matured, but the kernels are not developed. A little bitty tiny, cob, and so it's not the right season. Maybe the stalk is fully mature, but it's not the right season. And can you see what he's talking about? That you'll come to your grave in a full age. Not early. Right? Not young. Like a shock of corn comes in a season where it's fully developed, fully matured, has come to the end of its cycle. And then the Lord say, with long life. Psalm 91:16, with long life, with what?
Long.
Not short life. Long life. I will satisfy him, the one that trusts in the Lord, and show him my salvation. Or as one verse said, show him how I can save. Has anybody read the 91st Psalm before? Huh? This is the last verse in the 91st Psalm. But it's important to keep it together because this is the culmination of the previous 15 verses. He said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, right? He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him. Now see, This is exactly what I was talking about in the first part of the service. What's those first three words? I will say something. I will say something. I'm saying what? God protects me.
Amen.
Well, who do you think you are? Huh? I'm somebody doing what the Bible said. I will say this. And what you can see is as he goes through verse by verse, he's talking about the pestilence and the destruction at noonday didn't get you, and the pestilence didn't get you, the disease didn't get you, the arrow that flew by day didn't get you. That's how you made it to old. Huh? That's how you got to verse 16. Is because God kept you. The arrow didn't get you. The COVID didn't get you. Come on, y'all with me? Crime didn't get you. Disease, poverty didn't get you. I mean, God sustained you through everything, through those years, until you reached old, satisfied. You've seen it all. Did it all, got the t-shirt, and you have finished your course, you're ready to go. But until you're there, you're not there. Sadly, many people leave early. Many people leave, they die. And they leave here way before they should. You're here in Ecclesiastes. Look in the 7th chapter and the 17th verse. Y'all believing with me on this morning?
Yes.
This is important.
Yes. Amen.
Very important. Ecclesiastes 7 and 17. It says, be not overmuch wicked, and don't be foolish. Why should you die, what?
Before
your time. See, now it can't be that there's a preset in stone time to die, because you can die before your time. Hmm? And like we said, like the psalmist said, bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. So, being wicked, being, and notice the next one, just being stupid.
Yeah.
Right? Foolish. That's not being wicked. That's just being dumb. Have there been a lot of people who did dumb stuff? And not that they were wicked, bad people, but they're no longer with us. Hmm? So the key to making it this entire course is faith in God and the wisdom of God is a part of this. The wisdom of God. Did you know that the Word of God is called the wisdom of God? Did you know the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Wisdom? God's called the God of Wisdom. Wisdom is different from knowledge. It's different from understanding. Wisdom has to do with discerning the outcome. Has to do with being able to ascertain the future, how this is going to turn out. How it's going to result. For one thing, there is no future in sin. Huh? I mean, if you pursue a path of sin, you're being foolish. It is not going to turn out well. Hmm? But if you follow the Lord's path for your life, you're being wise. He's going to help you. And you're going to turn out well. And you're going to get the full lifespan that way and not be cut short. Why should you die before your time? Don't have to. But in the 8th chapter of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes 8 and 5, he said, "Whoso keeps the commandment shall feel no evil thing." Hallelujah. "And a wise man's heart does what? Discerns both time and judgment." A wise person will discern the timing of a thing. And you don't generate this wisdom because you're smart. Wisdom is not a product of intelligence. Wisdom is from God. And He gives it to those who ask for it and look for it. Don't you remember in James, he said that he'll give wisdom to those that ask, and he won't upbraid. He gives it liberally.
Yes, he does. That's right.
But a lot of people don't ask. They just make their plans and they do their thing, and they never check in with God. But the proverb talks about, don't trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. In how many ways? Every day, everything you go to do, even if you've done it 500 times and you think you know what you're doing, if have some humility and know you need the Lord's help. And ask Him. Say, "Lord, how should I do this today? How should I do this with these people and this situation?" And you'll find again and again, He'll show you things you never thought of. He'll reveal to you things you weren't aware of. And it's this wisdom that enables you to get on the right path and stay on the right path and have the longevity that God wants you to have. Remember, the foolishness can get you killed, cause you to die before your time. Just foolishness, which is the opposite of the wisdom. Somebody say, "Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom. I do ask for it. In Jesus' name." Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Look with me in the book of Psalms, the 105th Psalm. This is a big subject, but we'll get the right thing for now. Psalm 105 and 18. Psalm 105, 18 is talking about Joseph. And it said, "Whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron." And this describes when his brothers sold him into slavery. And you remember the how it happened when he was 17 years old. He had a dream and saw his brothers bowing down to him. And even saw his mother and father bow down to him. And so he went and told them about this amazing dream. About all of them bowing down to him. Now, was it time for that to happen?
No.
Time. Time. We not only need to know what, we need to know when. And if you don't get when right, you can try to do something out of time and get no results and bad results, and you could assume you missed it on what? Because it didn't work. But in fact, you didn't miss it on what? You were just 20 years early. Are y'all awake? Remember our text? To everything, there's a time and a season. A right time and the right season for things. Just talking to somebody about something, it can make all the difference. Whether you talk to them right now today or next Wednesday. It's possible it could make all the difference in the world, because maybe right now they're upset about it. They're not thinking right. Your spouse. Your husband. Your wife. How many times? Don't raise your hand. Just look straight ahead. Just look straight ahead. But how many times something came up? It was an issue. Maybe it was an issue that needed to be dealt with. And you're all stirred up about it. And you start to launch into it. And the Spirit of God check you and go, not now. Not now. But no. You're all wound up. And how did it go? Yeah. Now you got a whole nother set of problems. Huh? There's a right time and there's a wrong time. And only the Holy Spirit knows. You will never, and I will never know enough in our little head to get this right all the time. But the one who lives inside us, who knows the end from the beginning, he not only knows what's going on with you, he knows what's going on inside of them, and he knows what's going to be going on next week, which there's no way you could know that. And if we'll listen to him, so many problems could be avoided, could be missed entirely if we would just listen to that check on the inside. Pay attention in all your ways. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Said out loud, there's a right time and a right season for everything. Everything. And I'm going to skip ahead a little bit and give one of the main points. We'll come back to it. One of the main ways that you know when that time is you don't move until you know it's time. As long as you're not sure, it's not time. As long as you're not clear, it's not time. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
It's very simple. But it will require putting your flesh under.
Yes.
It'll require you getting a hold of your mouth.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Biting your lip at times.
Yes.
Why? Well, I'm just not clear about this. Then it's not now.
All right.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
This is how the Lord leads us, is by the inward witness and by the knowing.
Yes.
The knowing. 1 John 2:20. Can we put that up on the screen? 1 John 2:20. He said, you have an unction. Now that word unction could also be translated anointing. You have an anointing from the Holy One. And what does this anointing cause? Causes you to wonder? No. Long as you're wondering, you're not there. Guessing? No. Trying to figure it out? No. You know all things. There's a knowing. Oh, somebody say knowing. 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 Go to the book of John. Hold your place in Psalm 105. We're not done with that. But go to John, the gospel account of John. And you'll find this. John 7 is where we're going first off. You'll find this is mentioned several times in this book of John. John 7 and 6. Jesus said to them, my time is not yet come. How did he know that? Huh? This is not seeing things and hearing voices and feeling hot flashes and cold flashes. This is knowing. A knowing on the inside. Why could you say, my time's not yet come? Because when the time is right, you know it. And if you don't know it yet, you're not there yet. Is this too simple for you? Now skip to the 13th chapter of John. Now that's not the only place he said that. Several places. It would say, you know, for instance, you know, when they tried to kill him, he was able to just walk out of the midst because his time hadn't come. Right? Time hadn't come. It wasn't time. The time was not yet. And in the 13th chapter of John, and this gets to what we call the Last Supper and those things, and the first verse, 13:1. Before the feast of Passover, when Jesus what?
Knew.
He what?
Knew.
Was wondering about it? Huh? Thought it could be getting close. He knew. He knew that his hour was come. He knew. That's when it's time to act. When you know. When you're settled. What if I'm not? Don't move yet. Pray more about it. Look at it. Right? Ask the Lord about it. Because, listen, child of God, you can trust God.
Yes.
He's not going to let you just totally miss the big important things in your life without letting you know. The way you miss God is by ignoring what he shows you. If you're a child of God, you're born again, and you care about following the Lord, he's going to let you know. Hallelujah. He will let you know. And you can trust him on that. You can trust him on that. Well, he knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world to the Father. Somebody say he knew it. He knew it. Now go back to Psalm 105. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 105 and verse 18. Joseph, after he had shared that dream with his brothers and his family, they hated him because of that. And he didn't know. He's just 17 years old. But he was over 20 years away. He's more than that. He was almost 40 when he saw this come to pass. So he's talking about it, emphasizing it publicly, early. And yet, you know, God had a plan. But the scripture said here in the next verse that until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. And then the king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. And he made him lord of his house and ruler over all his substance. He went from the worst dungeon jail to running the country in a day. God can do something when the time came. But when he was telling the dream at 17, it wasn't the time. And when they sold him into bondage, it wasn't time. And when he's working for years in Potiphar's house, it wasn't time. And And then when he got in trouble, you know, over Potiphar's wife, and even though he was innocent, got thrown in the king's dungeon, still wasn't time. But there came a time when the fullness of time had come, and it was now. What are we talking about? God has a plan for your life. Huh? And it has a chronology to it. And most of the planet don't know about it, don't care about it. They never ask God about it. And sadly, even a lot of Christians, they make their plans, they do their things, they ask God to bless them, and they never ask Him what His plan is. And that's also why they have so many problems and difficulties, and some of this foolishness and some of this missing it can lead to being cut short and not reaching the full measure. But why would the Lord be talking to us this morning about this? So we can get the full measure. Right? Huh? There's a lot of folks not here. They didn't care. But you're here. You care. Right? And the Lord wouldn't be talking about it unless you can do it. That you can run your entire race. Finish your entire course. And wind up at the right place. At the right time. Oh, come on, y'all with me. And even leave this life the right time and the right way, not early, not young, not wrong. What do you think? But it requires some faith. It requires some wisdom. Some obedience. Remember we read in Ecclesiastes 8, a wise person will discern both the time and the judgment. Notice this verse we just got through reading, verse 19. Until the time that His word came. The time that the word came to pass. What was going on? The word of the Lord tried Him. Now this is how it is. This is what's going on, although many people say it backwards. You'll hear people say, yeah, I tried that tithing. And you know, it didn't work for me. I tried that, walking in love. And didn't seem like anything got any better. I tried, you know, forgiving people. And they just got meaner than ever. I tried. No, honey child. The Word tried you. And you failed when you quit. God is not on trial. His Word is not on trial. His Word is perfect, pure, refined many times. When God said it, heaven and earth will pass away, but it's not going anywhere. So no, this thing about trying the Word, it's trying you. The Word of the Lord tried Him. See, what was going on? Well, you know, 17, he gets this revelation. It's real. He knows it's real. It's as real and more than anything he's ever experienced in his life. He saw it. He saw his brothers bowing down in front of him. He saw mom and daddy bowing down. He thought, this is God. And it was. But it didn't happen. And then his brothers sold him into slavery. Don't you know the enemy got on his shoulder? And said, what about your little dream now? Huh? He's chained up like an animal in a cage. Then he's brought up on the auction block. He's sold. He becomes somebody's property. Huh? Don't you think the enemy's telling him this thing about, you know, this vision, this dream? That ain't never happening. That's gone. You can forget about that. But we know he did not. We know he did not let it go because of numerous things. One, the fact that it worked out like it did. But he didn't let it go. Even when Potiphar's wife lied on him. And you know, at least he's walking around out in the open air and actually became a prosperous man in Potiphar's house. Now they threw him in the dungeon where the king's the prisoners he's mad at get thrown. And now he's down there in that stinky place. What's the enemy telling him? You'll die here, right? That vision, that dream will never come to pass. But was the vision in danger of not coming to pass? It just wasn't time. The time had not come yet. And I know he didn't lose the vision because when they put him in, you know, when he got sold to Potiphar, next thing you know, he's running Potiphar's house. He's running everything around there. Then even when they threw him in jail, have you read it? Next thing you know, the head jailer turns the whole place over to Joseph. He's running. Why? He had a grace on him. He had an anointing on him. The Lord's favor was with him and on him. Hallelujah. You too. Said out loud, the anointing of the Lord is on me. The favor of the Lord is around me. Everywhere I go. Hallelujah. And when you know the butler and the baker of Pharaoh were thrown into the dungeon, the Bible said Joseph comes in there and he says, hey, why are y'all so sad today? What's wrong with you? You guys better liven up. That's not somebody who's lost their vision and somebody who's given up. He held on to that word when it went from good to bad and bad to worse and worse to awful. He still would not turn loose of the word that the Lord gave. Oh, come on, y'all. He would not turn loose. And the Bible said that word was trying him. It wasn't looking like it's going to happen. It was trying him, but there came a point where the time of the word was then. The time that his word came. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I know we think a year is a long time. We think 10 years is a long time. We think 20 years is a crazy long time. It's not. It's not. In the Lord's eyes, it's no time at all. But there is a plan. There is a chronology. And the important thing is that when we're not clear and we're not sure, we don't jump out and get ahead of God. Huh?
Amen.
I know years ago, I was helping with the music there some at Rhema. I was doing Wednesday nights. I was doing healing school and prayer school. And a lot of times I'd lead singing, and we'd be leading a song, and man, it'd be going good. You could sense the presence of the Lord, and then we'd sing it a few times, and then I'd change, and it just got flat. And I thought, well, what in the world? You know, just like we lost some momentum somewhere. I thought, Lord, what? So finally one day in prayer, I'm saying, Lord, what's the deal with this? And he spoke to my heart. I don't mean I heard a voice, but inside me he said, Keith, when I give you something to do, you do that until I give you the next thing. Did y'all hear that or not? What? See, I was changing too quick. I was changing to be changing. Because I figured, well, we did that one three times. That should be plenty.
Amen.
What am I talking about? How many times have people changed?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Just to be changing. Why? Because the nature of the flesh is impatient. Yours, mine, nature of the flesh is impatient. And what did the Lord say to me? When I give you something to do, you stay with that until I give you the next thing. Come on, can y'all see this? Until. Because the enemy will come and say, well, you've been here long enough. You know, ain't much shaking around here. What do you need to try something else. Try something. That's how you miss God. That's how you jump out from where the Lord put you. And what I was doing is I was going, there was an anointing on something, and then I got into something that it was flat, and there was nothing on it. And I'm changing to be changing. Huh? What, tell me again what the Lord told me. When I give you something. Huh? When I give you something, you do what? How long? How long?
Until.
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 Oh, somebody say until.
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 Will your flesh be impatient at times? Oh, brother. Whew. Huh? And the enemy will feed this and try to push this. Come on, you know you're bored. Let's try something new. Let's do something new. Let's do something new. Let's shake it up. Let's shake it up. And especially now with the internet and all the stuff going on, people got an attention span about that long. Is that right? I mean, if they're not seeing something moving and shaking within 10 seconds, it's on to the next thing. That is how you miss God. That's how you wind up in places you're not supposed to be. Doing things you're not supposed to do. No, the Lord said, when I give you something, you stay with that. Until I give you the next thing, which is the same thing what we said earlier. If you don't know, it's not time to change. Right? We have an anointing. We have an unction of the Holy One. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We have an anointing. Praise God. You know, Isaiah 28:16 says, he that believes shall not make haste. The complete Jewish says, this is Isaiah 28:16, he who trusts will not rush here and there. Huh? Bouncing around. Over here, over that. Changing your major 8 times. That's because people are not praying. They're not praying. They're not seeking the Lord. They're not listening. And tell you, this is serious. This is how you can wind up not living out all your years.
Yeah.
You can wind up in a lot of situations dealing with some bad things because you never were supposed to even be there. But there is a path.
Yes, there's a path.
The path of the just.
Yeah.
The path of the righteous.
Yes.
And it's not a dark path.
No.
It's a light path.
Yes.
It's a bright path.
Yes.
And it gets brighter.
Yes.
And brighter.
Yes.
Every day that you travel this right path. But you can't say, well, I think I'll try it over here. No, stay on what he put you on. Unless and until. You know. Not think so wonder. You know. There's another way to go. Look in Psalms. Have you got another minute or two here? Psalms 92, I believe it is. Let me see. Psalm 92. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 92. This is a word from the Lord for you and me today. Right here. Right now, this Psalm 92. Everybody awake. Check your neighbor, because if they're snoozing, bump them. They do not need to miss this.
Amen.
This is important.
Yes.
Amen. Psalm 92:12. 92:12 says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. You know how a cedar becomes a great big, I mean, here we are, what, Northern Cali, and you got the redwoods, and you got all this stuff. A couple of years ago, I rode my motorcycle up through some of the forest. Man, you know how those trees got so big? They've been in that same spot. They have been. They have been in that same spot for hundreds of years. What if after a few months you thought, you know, well, let's uproot this thing and put it over here in a different spot. And then after a year or so, well, let's uproot it. If it survived. If it survived, it's got to start all over trying to develop a strong root system. It takes time to put these roots down far and deep and wide. The reason they got so big and so strong is they have not moved. They are right there in the spot where they are being fed and nourished. Hallelujah. And the righteous are like that. They flourish like a palm tree. They grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And that's because they're staying where they planted. And those that be planted where? In the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Now the flesh is always wondering about greener grass somewhere else. Whether it's a job, whether it's geographical location, a spouse, a church. Huh? And so you got people, they are on their ninth job, they're on their 12th relocation, they're on their fourth marriage. Huh? And what they find out is when they get there, the problem is there. Yeah, they moved, but when they got there, they're there. So the problem's still there. Look at your neighbor. Help him out. Help him out this morning. Say, don't change. Just to be changing. And you can say back to him, okay, okay, all right. Don't change. Just to be changing. That's how you miss God. And even if you know you got something from the Lord. You may be right about what? What else do you need to know? Help me out. What else? You need to know when. And if I don't know when, what's the case? I'm not ready. Because when it's time, I'll know. Right? I'll know. He said, they that be planted in the house of the Lord, they'll flourish in the courts of our God. Verse 14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Man, this is blessing every way you look at it. First of all, you made it to old age. Come on here with me. You made it. You didn't die young. You didn't die wrong. You didn't die middle age. You weren't cut off. You weren't cut short. You made it. Even the old people call you old. Huh? I mean, when the Bible calls you old, you old. They will bring forth fruit in what? Old age. Not only did you make it to old age, you have things going on in you and through you that are effective. Yes. And bringing forth spiritual fruit. Things that are making a difference to people around about you. That are helping their... Oh, come on, are y'all with me? Helping their life. One of the greatest things in life is to be useful. Yes. Hallelujah. This is not some decrepit person that can't even leave their chair or their living room. This is somebody bearing fruit, producing good things that matter, that are helping people. That's God's will for you. Every one of us in here, that's God's will. I said, that's God's will. Not everybody has this because they won't listen, but those that can, those that will, can. They will still bring forth fruit in old age. They'll be fat and flourishing. The NIV says it like this. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh. And green. So what's coming out, what's coming out of their spirit from the Holy Spirit, illuminating their mind, is fresh. Huh? It's not old, nothing stuff that nobody wants to hear. It's something their children want to hear. And their grandchildren want to hear. Come on out with me. And their friends want to hear. It's good fruit. The NAS says they will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. Full of sap. Well, that's not old and wore out and empty and nothing. Fresh. Full of sap. Green. Fruitful. Can you see this? I had the privilege of working in Brother Hagen, Kenneth Hagen's ministry there at Tulsa, Broken Arrow, for a number of years. And in the healing school, I began to notice some things about what we're talking about right now, longevity. So I made it a study of mine. And I began to research people that were living long and looking for common things between them. And because this is a provision and blessing for the righteous. And you know, in the beginning days after creation, Adam and those immediately after him are living 700, 800, 900 years old. And that's because God did not design the body to die. It was, I mean, even if you study it today, every cell in your body is replaced every so many years. Well, then if it replaces correctly, theoretically, you should never age or die. That's already in there. But because of sin, because of the curse, it threw it off. And so it gets to a certain point. Once it reaches maturity, it doesn't quite complete the cycle. And then that aging is the result. But the Lord said in Genesis 6, He said, because man is flesh, that his spirit was not going to strive with man, but that the days of man would be 120 years. Genesis 6:3, I think you can put that up and see if that's it. The days of man shall be 120 years. Now we think, man, that's a long time. To those guys, that was drastic cut. Because their forefathers had lived 500, 600, 700, 800, 900 years. And if you told them somebody's going to die at 120, they'd say, well, they're just a kid. For real. But the Lord, this is one thing you got to understand. You know, right after this had to do with, or before and after this, was the flood and all those things. 700 years is a long time to practice evil. And people were doing it. And God said, I'm not going to put up with that. Not going to put up with that. And so he restricted and shortened the average, you know, full-length lifespan to 120. And that's what it is today. 120. That's the approximate maximum that you and I could expect or believe to live. Now, I know a lot of people, you know, they scoff at that and mock at that, and so they will not be bothered with it. But we're talking about time. We're talking about seasons. You'll come to your grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn comes in his season. And they'll still be bearing fruit in old age. Huh? I looked up some of the ones that are alive right now. And there are several. I mean, do your own research. You'll see what I'm talking about. I mean, there's a list this long of people the last 20, 30 years that have made it over 110. And the oldest one that we have, and they're, you know, Guinness World Book of Records, they're very big on, can you prove it? Do you have the documentation, birth certificates, and all that kind of thing? The oldest verified is Miss Jean Calmette from France, 122. 122. She's the oldest verified. So you can't say it can't happen. Huh? And they said she started every morning with prayer and praise. Hey, every morning, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Current, Miss Ethel Catterham of United Kingdom, right now alive, 115 years and 290 days. So she'll soon be 116. Marie Tessier, 115, alive right now. Naomi Whitehead in the U.S., 114 years old. Hallelujah. And one of these I noticed that is currently, well, no, they just passed on. They were almost 116. And they had been diagnosed with cancer twice in their life, in their 40s. They had throat cancer. They overcame it. And in their 80s, they were diagnosed again with a different kind. They overcame that and lived to be over 115. People quit too easy. They give up. Oh, come on, can you see that? The Bible said fight. The good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. You can't be, you know, quick to say, well, you know, that's it, you know. And it's easy, you know, especially if you're dealing with difficulties, to say, I just want to go home. I just want to go home. And don't judge anybody if they left early, because unless you've been in their shoes, it's just, you're just thinking. But life is very short, even if you live the whole full length. It is so brief. The Bible said it's like a vapor. You do not need to leave early.
Amen.
You do not need to be robbed of even a year. I said of even a year of what you should have. We had an event at our church a couple of weeks ago, and I had a man in his 90s came. We were outside with food and that kind of thing. And he had been attacked and was supposed to have been dead years ago. And the same kind of thing, they told him, you know, you probably wouldn't live a year or two. And then he lived another five. And then he said, well, you may not live another 6 months. Then he's lived another 6 years. And and he was standing there smiling, you know, with his hat on and his cane. And I said, man, it's so good to see you. He said, it's good to be here. I said, yeah. And my associate was standing there, and he said, man, he said, you just keep believing God, and you just keep overcoming. He said, yeah. He said, I'm going to go when me and God get good and ready for me to go. Huh? I'd like to hear you say that. I'm going to go when me and God get good and ready for me to go. See, that means I'm not going early.
That's right. With some stinking disease.
Yeah. I'm not going early from some crime or some car wreck. Come on, y'all listening. I'm not going early. Because Satan's not my Lord. The destroyer is not my Lord. He has nothing in me. He has no control over me. Jesus is my Lord. And I will leave here. I will go. When he and I get good and ready for me to go. Not before. Not before. Now, this will not work if you don't care about doing what the Lord wants you to do. Huh? If all you care about is retiring and doing your thing and doing nothing and goofing off and you don't want to do anything for the Lord, well, you won't have the full measure like this. You'll have to care about His plan for your life and to be where He wants you to be, with who He wants you to be with, doing what He wants you to do, bearing some fruit. Huh? Even in your old age. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Go to Philippians. Hallelujah. I'm thinking about closing. Philippians. Paul talks about in this passage him making a decision about going or staying. And a lot of people don't even believe this because, you know, you come back to the enemy has pushed this idea about, well, everybody's got a time to die. And so when your time comes and nobody knows when that time is, then you're going to go whether or not. And that's just not true. We've given you a bunch of scripture otherwise. But here, this is so clear here that in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19, he said, I know that this will turn to my salvation through your prayer. Did you hear about the woman that lived 122? Every morning. Every morning, spent the first hour or two praying and praising. Amen. Praying and praising. Amen. That's somebody that cares about what God wants them to do that day. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And said through prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I'll be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. There's a right and wrong way to live. There's a right and wrong way to die. You know, when the patriarch said, let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like his. And that was Israel. And what happened, you know, when he got ready to go, he called all his children into the bedroom and he sat up on the bed. And he prayed and prophesied over all of them. And then he just left. He gave up the ghost. His spirit left his body. Now that's the way to go. I said, that's the way to go. You don't have to be hooked up to 9 tubes. You don't have to be drugged out of your head. You don't have to be in excruciating pain. Brother Hagin used to say this. He said, if the Lord doesn't come beforehand, all of us will go by the way, the gates of death. He said, but you don't have to go through the jaws of death because the Lord has borne that for us. And so there's a right way to die and a right time. And there's a wrong way to die and a wrong time. And so he said that he was purposed that the Lord's going to be magnified both in His life and in His death. Pray that prayer. Say, Father God, I belong to You. I'm bought and paid for, redeemed. Get glory to Yourself in my life and in my death,
in my death.
Get glory to yourself. Hallelujah. He went on to say, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So for the believer, there is nothing to dread about dying and everything to look forward to. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. See, he's talking about fruit. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. Now that word wot can be translated no. We're back to that. What I shall choose, I know not. So then is it time for him to go?
No.
Y'all going to help me with this? Or? No. We've already said, how do you know when it's time?
You'll know.
You'll know. And if I don't know and I'm not clear, I'm not sure, you're not ready. It's not time. You're not done. It'll be soon enough. Hmm? But don't let yourself be robbed of,
that's right,
of even a day.
Amen. Amen.
Hmm?
Amen.
You know, you and I have already missed the perfect will of the devil. We totally missed, because his perfect will was to take you to hell with him. Miss that? We have totally missed the perfect will of the devil. Well, then his fallback position for his will for you is for you to go to heaven. If you're not going to hell with him, go to heaven. Now. He wants you out of here so you don't influence anybody else. Huh? That's why he wants believers out of here. That's why he attacks the way he does. He does not want a godly influence in the earth.
But no.
Like my elder brother I just met, we're going to go. When me and the Lord gets good and ready for me to go, until then, we're going to tell everybody that'll listen about how good God is, about how great our salvation is, that they can come to heaven with us. All you got to do is receive. And we need to do that for as long and as much as the Lord wants us to. And not let that be cut short. Because not everybody's like you and me. Billions on this planet, they got no time for God at all. People like you and me that actually care and will listen to him are in a small minority. So we don't have a bunch of extra just to, you know, go home early. No. We stay until we're done.
Amen.
That's right.
I want to hear you say it again. I'll go.
When the Lord and me
get good and ready
for me to go,
and not before.
Amen.
He said, what I shall choose, I don't know. But you can see while he's dictating this by the anointing, he gets settled. And he knows, I'm not ready to go. I got to stay. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I got a desire to depart and be with Christ. He'd done a lot of ministry. He'd already done a lot of things. He's like, yeah, Lord, I'm ready to come. Let me get out of here and come be with you. Because that's far better than being down here. Nevertheless, then he thinks about who he's writing to, that bunch at Philippi. And he's thinking, whew, they need help. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful. Right? For you. And having this what? Confidence. What is confidence? Knowing. Being sure. Having this confidence about what? I need to stay. I need to stay. That came up in his spirit. That confidence. I need to stay. So I'm going to abide. That means stay. I'm going to stay. And continue with you all. Huh? Not just through hardship, for the furtherance and joy of faith. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by being my coming to you again. Glory, 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 glory. Stand on your feet, everybody. Lift your hands. Lift your voice. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, lift your voice. Lift your hands. Say, thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank you for life. We thank you for our salvation. And thank you for choosing us. And thank you for helping us. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I don't know, it's been 5-7 years ago, something like that. The Lord dealt with Phyllis and I to pray a prayer and release faith on a certain thing. And since that time, I've seen the Lord doing it. I want to lead you in this same prayer. It has to do with the verse, redeem the time. I know Phyllis and I, just like you know, the Thomases, they've been in ministry over 40 years, and Phyllis and I have too. And, I mean, you look back, and, I mean, one of our churches already 22 years old, and the other one's already 12 or 13, and we had traveled, you know, 20-something before that. 20 years is not a long time. And we're thinking, you know, well, where will we be with the Lord sustaining you in another 20? That's not very far away. And how many more 20s do you have before you're out of here? So does it matter what we do with our remaining time? And the Lord dealt with me to pray. Phyllis and I prayed a prayer of agreement and said, Lord, you told us to redeem the time. And so we are asking you, I'm going to lead you in this in just a moment. We're asking you to give us wisdom and grace us and direct us, cause us to know by your anointing the highest and best use of our remaining days and strength and opportunities and resources. And we released faith on that, and I mean immediately. The Lord began to show us, no, that's not a good use of your time. Cut back on that. Yeah, this is a good use of your time. Put more resources into this. Because for too long, you and I are going to look up. It's going to be time to leave. Right? So let me lead you in this prayer. Release faith in it. Say, Father God, you told us to redeem the time. And so we're asking you for wisdom, discernment, judgment, understanding, and grace that we may know and use our remaining days, our remaining years, our remaining strength and resources and opportunities for your highest purposes, your greatest and best uses. We ask it in Jesus' name, and we declare we will finish our course with joy, with long life. You will satisfy me and show me your salvation. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Give praise to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord God.